Welcome back. 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, and RLTV. Check your local cable listings. Andy Parks, Fred Grandy, live from the Washington Times on this Friday afternoon. And it's time to welcome to the program Dave Boyer, Washington Times White House reporter. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Andy. Hi, Fred. How are you?
We're doing just fine. A couple of things we want to get into. First of all, this issue of charities could be a big loser in this tax plan has gotten my attention. Let me guess, no one in the Obama administration saw this possibility that perhaps folks wouldn't be as giving, charitable as they once were if taxes go up?
You know, I think they're trying to have it both ways, because back in February, you'll remember when the president introduced his budget for the next fiscal year, he proposed reducing the amount that people could deduct for charitable contributions from 35% as the max to 28%. And at the time, the White House said, well, it's not really going to affect charitable giving, you know, because most people who donate to charities aren't that wealthy. And now here we are in the middle of the fiscal cliff negotiations with the Republicans in the House, and House Republicans have made a proposal that we can, you know, obviously raise almost $1 trillion in revenue over the next 10 years by changes in the tax code, which would include limiting deductions on charitable giving. And the president says, well, we can't have that now, you know, and because it would hurt charities too much.
Well,
and
actually,
the argument is we're trying to be worked both ways here, I think.
What you're pointing out, all of a sudden we're seeing the resurgence of Peter Orszag, who used to be his budget director, who apparently is now carrying this water and saying, well, it's going to hurt poor people more, right, Dave, because the people that will get the mortgage deduction and there's another one in here that you have that supposedly is the province of the rich. But
paying state and local taxes.
State and local taxes deducted from your federal return, right. But, of course, if you hit charitable deductions, the contributions will go down, and it'll go down to poor people first. Well, but the point is the rich people are probably going to give less to arts and education organizations, perhaps even universities, wink, wink.
Yes,
and
probably hospitals, too. Yeah. You know, I think that's absolutely true.
All right. You know, this is what drives me crazy, though. If I, as an example, know that I'm going to be taxed at a higher rate and I'm going to lose or have, drastic limits to my deductions, then if something has to give, it's the, it's the discretionary, donations or contributions. All right. And so, especially in light of our economy today, I'd be inclined to keep the money and perhaps give it to my own family, knowing that somewhere down the road they're going to need it more because of the debt liability of this country.
I just thought of something, David. This may be way too crazy, but if you really wanted to affect giving and you wanted to hit a huge fund, why don't you put a big tax on political contributions? I mean, the big guys will give anyway. But I mean, why not? I mean, why not carve out that it's no longer deductible as any kind of a charitable contribution? It was to some degree, but why not go the other way?
You know, that actually makes sense.
Put some kind of a surtax on political contributions above a certain level, so you're going to be hitting the Sheldon Adelsons and the George Soroses, and not some guy that's
I want to hit the super PACs.
Right.
Make them give up percentage of what you give them.
Interesting point. You know, there was a story today on our website that both campaigns, I think, have each campaign, Romney and Obama, had each crossed $1 billion line in this past election. So,
I mean, yeah, think about that.
Yeah, 10% of that is
exactly.
$100 million each.
Exactly,
$200 million.
Yeah, why not?
You know, that's a couple of years of budget deficit reduction.
Yeah. All right. Now, some economists are still saying we can get this done, get the deal done, without higher taxes, and
without higher tax rates, right?
Right,
right,
right.
Right.
And in fact, even the president, I don't know if you caught this, but the president back in 2011 said as much, said we really didn't need, the higher tax rates, and we could impose these deduction limitations. But what, Fred?
That was a different time.
That was a different time. That was a different time. And now he says we've got to have it.
One of the president's economic advisors yesterday or the day before said, well, we know more about the way the tax law works now.
Oh, is that what? what it is?
Yeah. Somebody sat in a room and actually learned about it.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the other things I want to talk to you about, Dave, yesterday the president takes off into Virginia and goes and sits down with, what, a middle-class family?
The Santana family, according to your piece.
Right.
And what was expected to happen there? Was this merely nothing more than a photo op?
You know, he's still trying to keep the pressure on the House Republicans to cave on the issue of tax rates and to extend these middle class tax cuts. So he went to visit a, you know, middle class family. And so he's going to do something similar on Monday when he goes to Michigan to an auto plant, you know, and visit with auto workers and again try to make the point that, you know, these are the people that will be hurt if the Republicans in the House don't come around to my way of seeing things.
You know, I have to ask you, as a reporter, does it seem as though your workload now is inordinately taken up with these kinds of pseudo-events, which are essentially campaign events that are being funded by taxpayers because the guy is a sitting president?
Well, I'll answer that question, Fred, diplomatically. I think that, you know, certainly the White House is putting a lot of those kind of events on the president's schedule lately, you know, even since the election. And, you know, it's up to reporters individually with how much attention we want to give to that versus, you know, other things we're digging around for, if you will, real news. But, you know, we have to pay some attention to these things, these events, because it's the president and everybody's going to cover it. You can't just ignore them. But, you know, you also can't forget about the real negotiations that are going on behind the scenes.
Exactly. Exactly. What? Which are not going on behind the scenes.
All right. But so why?
No, we're not. Yes, as the speaker, John Boehner, said today, they're really not going. Nothing's really going on. So.
Yeah. No kidding. In fact, what do we have, Fred? Hang on a second. Oh, yeah. Here, Dave. This is what we got from Boehner earlier. Check this out.
Well, this isn't a progress report because there's no progress to report.
All right. So let's go out to Falls Church and sit down with the family.
That was beautiful. All right. So why don't the reporters ask the president simply this? Mr. President, why aren't you back in Washington sitting down with lawmakers and getting something done rather than sitting in the family room of someone in Virginia or in Michigan?
Well, you know, first, Andy, we do ask that question of his spokesman, Jay Carney, every day, you know, repeatedly. We haven't had many chances lately to interview the president himself.
Yeah.
And the answer from the White House is that, you know, they think, you know, first of all, he is, they say, making phone calls to John Boehner, and I pretty much can, you know, you can envision the transcript.
He's got him on speed dial, right?
New? No, yeah. No, but anything new with you? No. Okay, well then, take care, you know. But the other point I was going to make is the White House is also saying that, you know, the president won the election and on behalf of the middle class, and he feels like their voices are still an important part of this debate, and he wants to highlight their what they have at stake in this, as he views it. So that's why he's going to keep visiting people like that and trying to bring them into the conversation.
All right, you guys in the press pool, do you have an over and under on whether or not we go over the cliff?
Boy, you know, I don't know what the consensus is. My own view is that it, you know, it just feels like there's a little bit of movement every day on behalf of Republicans. You hear comments from different Republicans, like Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, for example, or you know, other people who are saying, well, let's just let the Democrats own this. And I don't know if I don't think that's any consensus on the Republican Party's part yet. But it just feels like there's you know, shifting attitudes, and you know, I don't know whether that reflects behind the scenes negotiations or not. John Boehner says absolutely not, but my guess is that something's going to happen before Christmas. But that's worth you know, a nickel and a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I hope you find some real news between now and then.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, looking around for it. What's on the schedule for the president for the weekend? Anything?
It looks like a quiet weekend, and then, as I said, Monday he's going to Michigan to visit his auto plant. That'll be interesting also because of the angle that Michigan is just passing this right-to-work law.
Right.
There,
yeah, that ought to be entertaining.
The heart of union territory.
Yeah. All right, we'll check with you next week. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks,
Take care.
All right, Danny. Take care, Fred.
All right. Dave Boyer, White House reporter for The Washington Times, 4:23, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, and on RLTV. It's Andy Parks and Fred Grandy, live from The Washington Times. We'll be right back.